Well, good afternoon, everyone. First and foremost, I'd like to give a welcome to Secretary of Health and Human Services, Becerra, and I will say from a personal standpoint on this, a dear friend and a colleague for many years in the United States Congress, a champion on so many issues of children and families, and a champion with us and the folks you're going to hear from today of making sure that in Minnesota we trust women. We believe women are the ones who need to make their own health care and reproductive decisions, and access to affordable, safe abortion services is a critical part of that. Many of us on that morning of June 24th of this year, it was a day, especially those of us who were a little older, I guess theoretically knew could come, but then it was on the doorstep. It became at that point in time absolutely imperative that states take a lead, and as so often so many times, the leaders you see behind me stood up and have made that happen. Sometime a little later this afternoon, the Minnesota House of Representatives will pass incredible protections that women across Minnesota and across this country will know. Minnesota is a safe place for you. Minnesota is a place where we will lift you up and we will lift up your decisions around your own health care and reproductive rights. We wish that we didn't have to be here. You're going to hear from from Speaker Hortman and Senator Dietzick to talk about, and each of these authors to talk about the need to codify this, because as we heard from Supreme Court justices during their confirmations that this was settled law, once the courts changed, access for women changed. Here in Minnesota, that threat will not be there. This will be codified into law and we'll move forward. So no further from me, because like so many things, this is a time and a space to listen to women and listen to the women who have made this case so strongly and are prepared to move Minnesota to that place where we can feel secure. I'll give it to my partner, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Governor. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Minnesota. Mr. Secretary, we're so grateful to have you back, and we ordered our very own January snowstorm just for you. But as Minnesotans know well, we are really good neighbors, snowstorm or no. We help get cars unstuck and shovel driveways. We deliver hot dishes. And we fight to protect our status as an island of access to abortion in the Midwest. Now, let's be clear. Abortion is healthcare, period. The fight is not just about those of us who have grown up under the umbrella of protection of Roe v. Wade. This is about our daughters and our children, our LGBTQ plus youth, whose access to abortion and reproductive health care is increasingly at risk. Ultimately, this is an issue also about racial justice. It is about economic justice. And unfortunately, this fight is nothing new, and we have to keep naming it, and we have to keep calling it out, that it is unacceptable. I will tell you that as long as Governor Walz and I are in executive office, your access to reproductive health care and abortion will be preserved and protected, and I promise you that. But we also need to see that the PRO Act move forward to the governor's desk. This bill will strengthen the law's definition of reproductive care and ban any local governments from regulating your health care and taking your rights away. The PRO Act is one big step in making sure that my daughter and all of our children can grow up with the same rights that we had and that my mother had. We're grateful to have strong local, state, and federal partners in this fight with us. And a special thanks to the Secretary for recognizing the importance of this bill and the importance of this day. We hear you, Minnesota. We are fighting for you. We stand on the shoulders of so many people who came before us, and we can do this, and we're going to do this. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you our Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman.
I love this little step.
Yep.
Good afternoon. When the Dobbs decision was released, I was livid, and I was actually surprised with how angry I was. Many of us realized that Roe would be overturned before it happened. When Donald Trump was elected, when he started appointing people to the U.S. Supreme Court, during their confirmation hearings, definitely during oral argument, it was clear what was going to happen. the U.S. Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe and was going to strip away a right that had existed in the United States of America for nearly 50 years. Yet when they actually did that, I was beside myself with anger. I felt like I became a second-class citizen in my country overnight. If you don't have bodily autonomy, you don't have anything else. Seeing that crucial right stripped away was infuriating. So to be where we are today, taking up the Protect Reproductive Options Act on the House floor is an empowering moment for me, for my daughter, and for so many others. Minnesotans believe they should have the freedom to make their own healthcare decisions. And in the last election, they spoke very clearly on that point. They value reproductive freedom, and they oppose efforts to infringe upon that reproductive freedom. I want to express my gratitude to Secretary Becerra for being here with us today and for the Biden administration for all the actions they have taken to protect this important reproductive freedom right across the country and to help individuals who are seeking to exercise that right. Couldn't have a better partner in the executive branch with Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan. And I'm especially grateful to Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick and the Senate DFL majority for their partnership with the PRO Act. Abortion is healthcare, period. DFLers stand with Minnesotans, and we will protect Minnesotans' reproductive freedom. Thank you. With that, I will turn it over to Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carrie Dietzick, Senate Majority Leader. I want to thank Secretary Becerra for being in Minnesota today and recognizing the important work we are doing here in Minnesota to protect reproductive freedom. I also want to thank the other Minnesota leaders up here behind me today who heard loud and clear the voices of Minnesotans on this issue. Senate DFLers knocked over 500,000 doors, and we heard how important this was to people across the state. People told us, parents told us, they did not want their children to grow up with fewer rights than they had. The PRO Act is about expanding rights and freedoms in Minnesota, not taking them away. We are going to do everything we can to ensure the passage of this bill so that our state can continue to be a safe haven for reproductive freedom. And again, thank you to all the leaders behind me for their work on this bill, and thank you to Secretary Becerra and the Biden administration for their partnership. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the House author, Carly Katiza Watun.
Good afternoon, everyone. As all the speakers before me, I have some gratitude to share. So thank you to Governor Walz, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, Speaker Hortman, Majority Leader Dietzick, my Senate partner, Senator McEwen, and Senator Becerra for being here today. I am proud to be standing here on the precipice of history. On Sunday, we will reflect on the passage of Roe v. Wade, which guaranteed the right to bodily autonomy and reproductive freedom for almost 50 years. Luckily, here in Minnesota, we have a similar court decision, Doe v. Gomez, that is protecting our rights here at home. Today, in passing the PRO Act, the Minnesota House will make sure that what happened to Roe does not happen here in Minnesota. My own family is a beautiful blend of adopted and biological children. My husband and I struggled through years of failed fertility treatments before adopting three kids in 2019. It was the day of the special session that year, in case anyone counting. It was just 6 months after that we learned, to our amazement and surprise, that a fourth was on the way. I'm grateful that I live in a state where I had access and the legal right to fertility treatments. I am thankful that I live in a state where I had the authority and autonomy to build my family. I am committed to ensuring that every Minnesotan has that same freedom. Having an abortion is a deeply personal, difficult decision. It is not something that anyone takes lightly, and it's a position that we all hope to never find ourselves in. No one is pro-abortion, but the fact remains that abortions still happen, even where the practice is illegal. Abortion bans do not end abortions. They only end safe abortions. It is our duty to keep our constituents and our neighbors in Minnesota safe and ensure that future politicians do not have the power to take away the right to reproductive health care in Minnesota. Thank you. And I forgot to introduce Senator McEwen.
Thank you very much, Representative. I'm State Senator Jen McEwen. I am the lead author of the Protect Reproductive Options, or PRO Act, in the Minnesota State Senate. I represent the beautiful city of Duluth. Very proud to join all of you today, and I thank all of our partners and all of the people who have been so supportive in moving the PRO Act forward in that collaborations. So I'll be very brief. I think all of the important points have been said, but I will reiterate that over this past fall in the elections, Minnesotans told us again and again, out on the campaign trail, our neighbors, our family, talking in community, we heard that when it comes to making our reproductive health care decisions, we expect to be trusted to make those decisions for ourselves. The PRO Act does just that. It honors the complexity of those decisions, and it trusts Minnesotans to be their best advocate. And it provides hope to those who were devastated by the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I am honored to be the Senate sponsor of this legislation and to carry the voices of Minnesotans forward and codify the right to reproductive freedom in Minnesota. And next we have Hannah Stein to offer us some thoughts as well.
Thanks. That is it, guys. So I don't do this a lot, be kind. Say mean things about me. My name's Hannah. I am a Minnesotan born and bred, ridiculously, obnoxiously proud of it. I'm here today to talk about how the right to reproductive health care has been so important to me and my family. I had an abortion when I was 22. I was at that time about as ready as any or most 22-year-olds to have a child, which is not very ready at all. I came out, I was just out of college, I had a really low-paying job. It was great, I was fine for a 22-year-old, but not for having and raising a child. And most importantly, I just wasn't ready yet to be a good and responsible parent. So I had an abortion, and that allowed me to build my home and a career and to grow up and to actually prepare to be a parent. So fast forward then, 13 years. At 35, I had another abortion. At that point, my partner and I had 4 children. They were young. In fact, we had a pair of 1-year-old twins. We were just mentally, physically, emotionally, we were just managing to get by. So I'm sure you can imagine how we felt at the prospect of having another pregnancy and another baby. So I again chose to have an abortion. And that was absolutely, for us, the right and responsible decision to make. So everyone who has an abortion has a similar story. They knew at some point that having a child at that time was a really bad idea. And if you knew their stories, you'd probably agree with them. But you know, this bill covers more than abortion rights. This gives Minnesotans the right to all reproductive health care. Like most of you, I've used contraception, I've had abortions, I've given birth, I've even used assisted reproductive technology. And all of this healthcare has been so crucial to my health and happiness and that of my family. And this bill protects all of it. The bill is saying Minnesotans get to make their own choices about when they use contraception, when they have abortions, when they have children. Minnesotans, individuals, you and me, not, no offense, some legislator who doesn't even know you, not a clergy member for a religion you may not even belong to, you will be making the decisions for you. And you may not make the same choices I made, and that's fine. You're going to be doing what's right for your family and you. And no one knows what that is better than you do. I am so excited for Minnesota today, honestly. I am so, so proud of our state and our people and our legislators and our governor, all of whom got together to protect us. It's amazing. Minnesota is called the North Star State. We will light up the path in the Midwest of giving people the right and freedom to make their own choices for themselves. And I can tell you, millions of Minnesotans and their families, like you and me, are going to lead better lives because of it. So congratulations to all of us.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you for sharing and trusting us with your story. To our incredible leaders, thank you for listening to your constituents. Thank you for coming back and doing the hard work and crafting this piece of legislation. I want to be able to introduce my friend here, someone who I did serve with, who was our caucus chair. He served in Congress, someone who was respected across the political spectrum, who was focused on doing what was right, who had the skill and the ability to get the votes done that we needed to get done to help Americans, and then now has been chosen to serve as the Health and Human Services Secretary. Secretary Becerra and his team have been in constant contact with us, especially during the last 2 years of the pandemic. Secretary Becerra himself was out here as we were starting to be able to get vaccines to our littlest Minnesotans to make sure we were able to protect them, always making sure and in contact with our health care providers and prioritizing Minnesota's health and safety first. You honor us, Secretary Becerra, and the Biden administration, and thank the President for coming to Minnesota to note that this piece of legislation will make Minnesota a shining beacon, an island in the upper Midwest. And my message to our friends outside of Minnesota, especially in the upper Midwest, you are welcome here. You are seen, you are valued, you will be protected. This is a state that understands that and will continue to, and the acknowledgement of the administration by having Secretary Becerra here strengthens that. Please welcome Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra.
Governor, first, thank you for the invitation to be here on a momentous week when you and the legislative leaders, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, to all the legislative leaders, you're going to make history at a time when it seems like regression seems to be more on the table than anything else. And so it is a good day to be in Minnesota. And I thank you for letting me join you today. It is hard to believe when you think about it. In just a few days, we will be marking the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Harder to believe that it took almost 200 years after the founding of our country to actually offer women the protections under Roe v. Wade. But perhaps the most difficult thing to believe is that today, the daughters of some of those champions of Roe v. Wade have fewer rights than their mothers had. But that's where we are. And that's why what your legislative leaders are doing in Minnesota, and with the support of the Lieutenant Governor and the governor here, is so important, because you're setting history in the right direction. And that is crucial. President Biden, Vice President Harris recognize that. And that's why we are ready to do everything we can within our powers to support what Minnesota is doing to protect the rights of all of its people. We don't want to go backwards. The president made that very clear before he even became president. He made it clear when it comes to health care, he was going to lower costs for more people with better benefits. There is no way he can fulfill that promise if he doesn't protect the reproductive health care rights of every woman in America, regardless of where they live. And so when it comes to the Biden-Harris administration, we are your partners in this fight. And so the PRO Act is just one important step in this long road back to where we should have gone in the first place, and that is to protect women's rights, to not undo Roe v. Wade, but to build on Roe v. Wade. And so we are ready, whether it is protecting a woman's right to get medication abortion services and the treatments that she needs, or whether it is to protect a woman's right to get the emergency care that under federal law she is entitled to get, which could include abortion services if she is in a need to be stabilized or have her life saved. We will protect the rights of every American to privacy in their information, and we will try to do everything we can to protect the privacy of providers as well. We will work with the people of Minnesota to elevate those rights, because we believe in inclusion and access, and we believe in what the Constitution calls equal treatment under the law. And so it is time. It is time to follow Minnesota and do what's right for all Americans, because after close to 200 years to fight to get rights that were denied to so many Americans for so long, it is unjust to tell their daughters that we have to go back to square one. And so, got a little snow, but ain't bad. We will continue to work because Minnesota is doing it right. And I am thrilled on behalf of the Biden administration to be here to say, do not stop. We are right next to you, pushing you forward. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Secretary. And looking at this group, I don't think they're ready to stop. So, and since we're still in January, we've got a lot more that we can do. With that, I would open it up for any questions from our press.
Mr. Secretary, the Biden administration has made promises to expand access for women living in states that have restricted abortion. What are you actively planning to do about that at this point, given the stalemate in Congress?
Well, we've done everything from go to court. For example, when we took on the state of Idaho that tried to deny women access to emergency care services, and under federal law, those women are entitled to the protections to make sure that they're getting the health care they need. When a professional medical advisor says you need to have a particular type of care, including abortion care, you are entitled to it. We fought that. And we were able to gain an injunction against the state in trying to enforce that law. We will continue to make sure that medication abortion is available, contraception care is available to all Americans. The FDA, you're probably aware, recently took action to make sure that what has been available to women as a result of the public health emergency under COVID to have access to the medication services, abortion services that they need, is accessible, so that even if COVID has made it difficult to interact and have the same kind of access that we had before the pandemic, that women will continue to have that access, because now, based on the evidence and the science, it has become clear that it is safe to offer that medication without having to have an in-person visit with a health provider. We're also hoping, and it looks like it may happen, that we're going to get pharmacies that will start to make medication abortion prescriptions available to those women as well. And so we're going to continue to move forward, and we're going to continue to work with states like Minnesota that want to do the things it takes to embed in our laws the protections that forever prevent any American from losing access to health care.
Why do you think it is that no state has applied for a Medicaid waiver to use Medicaid funds for state travel, as the administration offered last year?
I'll let you speak to the different states. We have made the offer out there, and we continue to challenge folks to find ways to make sure no one loses access to health care.
Can Senator Dietzick talk about the Senate Leader Dietzick about the timeline for the Senate?
The House is hearing it today. They'll pass it sometime soon. It'll take, you know, three readings over in the Senate, and so we'll be looking at hearing it very soon.
Is your goal to vote on it next week to time it up with the anniversary of Roe?
We'll be figuring out the schedule today.
And you're confident you have the votes to pass it in the Senate?
We are a pro-choice majority in the Senate.
There's a companion bill in both the House and Senate that removes some restrictions, some of which have been already been struck down by courts. I'm wondering what the timeline is for that bill, and whether or not you feel you have the same support in the House and the Senate for that bill as you do for this bill.
Yeah, that bill we're now referring to is the Reproductive Freedom Codification Act, so RFCA, and then there's another bill called the Reproductive Freedom Defense Act, RFDA. And what those bills do, importantly, RFCA will clean up Minnesota statutes and will just strike those that have already been struck down and those that are inconsistent with reproductive freedom. And the Reproductive Freedom Defense Act will protect practitioners in the state of Minnesota and those who come from outside of Minnesota to get care in Minnesota, so that we can be that beacon for folks in the Midwest and around the country. And you asked about timelines and votes. You know, those are more complex pieces of legislation. They took a lot longer to draft. They will take longer to go through their committee stops. But we have pro-choice majorities in the House and the Senate, and we believe we have the votes to pass all three pieces of legislation. But the timeline is really unclear, given committee schedules. You know, it takes a while to move a bill through the process.
Was there something?
No, it's for Speaker, so.
To bring you back up, Speaker Hortman. Unless anybody else has a governor related question. Okay.
Take one and then wrap.
All right. I'm like, this is what is happening.
Yes, ma'am.
Previous one,
believe
it now.
Okay, no. You'll be the last question, then we'll all get out of the governor's.
Speaker, have you had any additional conversations with your caucus about the constitutional amendment? I know earlier this month you said you personally support a constitutional amendment on abortion. Do others in your caucus feel the same?
They do, and we haven't really gotten very far in those conversations because what we're looking at is getting bills on the governor's desk that affect the budget in the near term, getting help that we can to Minnesotans as soon as possible. But a constitutional amendment wouldn't be on the ballot until 2024 at the earliest. So there's a lot of time for us to have conversations amongst ourselves before we move forward. And with that, we'll get out of the governor's reception room. Thank you for being here.
Everybody.